All right, let's keep talking about African traditionalist topics. So you remember in the previous episode how I talked about the YouTube video that was on the Cruz YouTube channel that had mostly Nigerian Christians and then other Nigerian traditionalist people. So one of the types of traditionalists, the one who is kind of in the thumbnail, and I think, I don't know if he talked the most, maybe at first he talked the most, and I'm kind of going back through the video because I'm not 100% sure if all the traditionalists are the same, like, culture and spiritual practice, or if just the other group were all Christians, but the traditionalists were, like, different groups of traditionalists. I feel like they were different groups. I'm not 100% sure. So, the guy with the cap who's in the thumbnail, I mean, in the video, he didn't actually have that white circle around his eye. I think that was just photoshopped on to maybe look, make it look more interesting or something. I don't remember him having that on his eye, like a type of like facial paint of some kind. I don't remember seeing any of them have any kind of painted faces or anything. Maybe makeup, but other than like traditional women's makeup on the women, they didn't have any like traditional face, kind of face paintings or anything. But the guy, he was wearing a cap, and he mentioned that his tradition is called Omenala. Now, with these pronunciations, I am not I'm not from a background of people that is Igbo at all. I don't have Nigerian heritage. My heritage is from South Africa, Zimbabwe, like the opposite side of the African continent, the opposite end. We're completely south. And there's, of course, there's overlap, but I mean, the languages are different, the accents in English are different. They speak completely different languages. Their religious culture is completely different. They have different traditions, different everything. And I guess I'm not trying to, like, be too weird in mentioning that. It's just, I feel like a lot of times people who aren't, you know, familiar with, like, African cultures kind of assume, oh, they're all, like, the same. It's like, no. It would almost be like comparing, like, you know, United States Americans to Canadians to people from, I don't know, England, Scotland, Ireland, like, completely different countries. And, you know, maybe they speak English, maybe they speak other languages, but, you know, they're, you wouldn't, like, in the U.S., if you're American versus Canadian, those are two different things. You might look the same. There might be a lot of cultural overlap. But, I mean, Americans, the U.S. is a whole different country. You know, just like, you know, it's a whole different country from Canada. It's a whole different country from England. I mean, there's a lot of overlap, but, you know, it's not the same thing. And I would say there's some equivalent with that, with, you know, Nigeria. Nigeria is a whole country of its own. South Africa is a whole country of its own. They have different languages, different backgrounds of where their people came from, different tribes, different everything. But there is overlap too. And just like you wouldn't say like Chinese, Japanese, Koreans, Filipinos, like, yeah, they're Asians, Indians, yeah, they're Asians, but they're not all the same. They have different languages, different writing, different foods. I mean, it's very similar in Africa, and I think a lot of times people just want to group everybody into one thing. It's like, no, there are multiple countries in Africa, all with different tribal backgrounds, and multiple tribal backgrounds, and multiple tribal languages, and multiple religious cultures, and it just never gets talked about. It, like, when people even talk about Africa, it's like, oh, like, one big thing, and it's like, it's not one country, you know? I mean, I'm not, like, trying to go on a rant about it, but it's just, like, just to explain, like, the vastness, you know, of even, like, picking a traditionalist, spiritual practice that I'm not familiar with. It would be similar to me just picking like a tribe from Vietnam and like their background and their language, and it's pretty similar. It's like, I know nothing, you know. I know nothing of it. There's not a lot of overlap. And so, you know, even though I do have African family, African heritage, some knowledge of African things, I'm not very familiar with this African traditionalist group. So Omanala is... I wasn't trying to sound all rude about that. I'm just saying, like, just to show how different and, you know, unique it is. It's something I'm newly learning about. Just like when I was learning about Haiti, you know, and I was learning about, you know, other... Black groups of people, like, there's not a lot of overlap, but sometimes there is, but sometimes there's not. So that's just something that I think adds to how special it is. It's like, this is one tradition that is being shown on YouTube. So with Omanala, there really is not a lot that's easy to find. I searched the word, there really was not a lot. There were some shorts, some videos. Most of the videos that I saw were in, like, a mix of, like, maybe some English, but the people they were interviewing were not speaking English. So usually, like, the person who was, like, doing the video reporting and talking to the people in the public, a lot of times the people weren't speaking English back, or they were speaking, I don't even know what language they were speaking. I'm gonna assume it was an Igbo language. I don't even know if Igbo is the only name of the language. I always assumed Igbo was the name of the language, but I don't know if it's the name of the culture and the people, and they have multiple languages. But either way, there was kind of like maybe English words mixed in, but a lot of it wasn't enough English for me to really make out what it said. And then they kind of had like a transcript. One of the videos, I couldn't really trust the transcript. There was a short that had just like written words typed out, so that was helpful. And then another guy giving an explanation, I don't know if it was for a class project, talking about like a cultural artifact, and he used the hat. So that's kind of what I want to talk about with the Omanala religion or spiritual practice or tradition. I know different words have different, you know, connotations to them, so I don't know if calling it a religion, I mean, when I say religion, I feel like I know what I mean, but I feel like what everybody classified as a religion, like, I don't know if they classify it as a religion. Like, I don't know if I've heard them the people that I've heard speaking say that, they say, I've heard them say culture and tradition. I don't really know if they've said religion as much. I don't know. Like, I'm just, I like to use other people's language of what they call things. And I, maybe in that video with the Christians, that they might have said religion, but I don't think, I'd have to go back and rewatch it. I don't think they classified as religion. I mean, they were talking about two different religions, though, so they might have. But I think if it wasn't in that video, I don't think, of all the other videos, I don't think I heard anyone mention religion. They said culture or tradition. It might be a language thing. I don't really know. But Omanala is the name of that tradition, of the guy who is in that cruise YouTube channel, music, not music video, in the YouTube video, where there were other traditionalists and the Christians in Nigeria kind of debating about those interesting topics. And the traditional Igbo cap is called Okpu Igbo. I wrote down the spelling, O-K-P-U, and then the next word, I-G-B-O. One person translated it as leopard hat. And Omanala is spelled O-M-E-N-A-L-A. I'll put that in the notes. So the first YouTube video I saw seemed like a good idea. There was a guy who was interviewing people on the street, saying that he wasn't sure if youth understood what that cap meant, what it was all about, and he went and wanted to ask. From what I understood, he's trying to educate Nigerian youth about what the cap is. The people he asked did not seem to be young, but I'm posting a link to his video. He asked maybe three guys. One guy, the information was kind of, how shall I say this? It was kind of, I don't know how accurate the translation is. They had a transcript with, so when I put closed captioning on, it was using the transcript. But I don't know if somebody went through and actually put the wording in, or if it was just assumed that that's what this guy was saying. So I'm gonna read what I made notes on of what I think he said, and I think there's another person who almost, the guy who wrote it down on the short video, he kind of had a bit of different explanations, and so I'm gonna compare those two. So they say with the cap, there's like this kind of, I don't know what you call it, like a tassel or something that people can move, like, so it's either in the back, the front, the left, or the right of your head, when you're wearing the cap, and there's a significance to that. And so the first guy who was asked, I believe what he said was that chiefs used to wear the cap, and it's a sign of significance. On the right side, it means you're a chief. On the left side, it has to do with traditional culture, such as someone who's involved in dance or some part of the culture. If you're wearing it in the front, he says also it has to do with the culture. And then worn to the back, I believe he said excess power. Some of the transcript said sex power, but I think the word was excess, because the way they were saying it, they kept saying it over and over again, and I think they were saying excess power. And then another video, I'm going to post a link. It's not in English. I don't know for sure what language it's in. But he was explaining the cap, but it wasn't in English at all. And then let me get this other link. There's another link. I gotta capture this other link of what I was watching. Because the guy who I think shared the most information about it, Theophilus Nwana, I'm gonna post his link as well, and he has more information about that cap. And so, and he was explaining in English. So the next person who wrote down in a short, you know, with just captions but no verbal words, just shows him wearing the cap and putting the tassel to the different sides, and then there's the caption along with it. To the left or right, he wrote peace, happiness, harmony, friendship. To the back, he put won a battle and returning home. To the front, he said angry or going to war or to fight, and that the colors represent leopard society. And that's where I got that explanation of the cap meaning like leopard hat. And this last guy, Theophilus, he says it's a cultural artifact. It's very sacred, talking about this hat. And I'm going to post his link as well. It's a cultural artifact that's very sacred. It's an artifact of authority. And chiefs wear these hats. If someone's a chief, they have a feather. And other Igbo citizens don't have to have the feather if they're wearing it. To be able to qualify to have the hat, you have to have certain qualities, like economic contributions to home, to whatever home community you live in, whether that's in Nigeria or outside of Nigeria, you have to have had economic contributions. Now, I don't know what that means. No illegal activity, and the person must be truthful. And I believe he said that you could get disqualified, like if somebody finds out things, or maybe someone starts doing things that are like against what the qualities need to be, you can get disqualified from being able to like wear this type of hat of the artifact. And it's worn like at cultural events, and that's where he mentions it's sacred in Igbo culture. But he mentioned also that a lot of groups, like surrounding African groups, have taken on the hat as kind of like a fashion, like not necessarily because of like a sacred tradition or part of their culture, part of Igbo culture, or related to the spiritual practices, not part of that, but part of part of being like just fashionable. I mean, I've never seen this happen, but it would almost be like if people just started wearing like yarmulkes around. Like, I don't think people who aren't Jewish wear them like just for fun or anything, but I remember back in, was it in high school or early college days, people started wearing the, I think it's called a kafieh. It's like this Middle Eastern type of scarf that people wear like around their necks. Kind of almost like an infinity scarf style of wearing it around your neck. I noticed people doing that a lot. And it was, yeah, it was something that I noticed a lot. And I don't know if that kind of cloth has any like sacred you know, application to it, but I do remember when people started wearing it, and it almost seemed like people were doing it, like, in solidarity to, like, represent, like, open-mindedness towards the Middle East or something along those lines, maybe. It seemed kind of more like open-minded people who are kind of trying to make a fashion, but political kind of fashion statement. Just kind of like, I'm open-minded, I don't always agree with, like, mainstream. That was kind of the vibe I got from it. And a lot of times when I watch, like, really old stuff, I'll see it come up, like, you know, like, when you watch old movies and older movies and stuff, you'll see, like, the fashions that people wore. And so that's the only reason why that's kind of on my radar, is because I've watched some things where people were wearing that, and I was like, oh, yeah, like, people don't really wear it as much, but there was a time where people were all, like, wearing that. You know, it became, like, a fashion statement. Same thing with, like, zoot suits. I mean, it's not the same thing, but, I mean, I'm not saying any of those things are, like, sacred artifacts, necessarily, just they represent people taking on, like, a fashion of, like, a cultural symbol that kind of means something else, and then other people are like, oh, that looks cool, let me wear it, or, like, a version of it, because it's, like, who knows if they're practicing or not, or why other people wear it. But I do think people kind of adopt fashion a lot when it comes to, like, religion and, you know, different types of practices. I do see that a lot. Like, I see plenty of people who wear, like, crosses, and that's not an uncommon thing to wear, even if you're not a Christian. And I see a lot of people, you know, I don't know, just do a lot of things, wear a lot of things. It's not uncommon for people to, like, adopt sort of, like, a fashion, even if it comes out of, like, some kind of sacred tradition or religion. So I do want to talk about this more. Mostly I just find the topic to be very interesting. Black History Month is coming to a close. We've just got a few days left. My research has not been, well, I don't want to say it's been bad. It's been pretty good. It's just been slow. Because I'm noticing, you know, even when I'm studying other things like Sangoma traditions from my own traditional background, it's kind of hard to find stuff. But we're going to talk about that in another episode. Because if I start going that route, I'll get off topic. But I might just post quite a few, like, short episodes. As we're wrapping up the month, like, I don't want to just, like, bombard with, like, tons and tons of episodes, but part of me is, like, it might be more impactful to have them come out at the end of Black History Month, so it's still during Black History Month, versus spreading them out one day at a time, and people can go back and listen, and they're probably going to be short. Like, this one's going to be short. I'm about to end it. They're going to be shorter, because I have less to say, I have less to expand on, but that's just the beginning of learning about it, and I'm curious about it. It seems like you guys are too, according to kind of what the analytics are looking like, so I'm gonna keep posting a little bit about it as I learn, and yeah, you might see quite a few short episodes. You can listen to them in your own time, and hopefully it's interesting.